Blog Talk Radio.
How much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And
there are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every...
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, on the Trust in God Radio Network. And we always open up with a prayer. Trust in God midday. Lord, we thank you for another day. Ask that you always have your will and way. We thank you, Lord, for loving who so largely take for granted. We thank you to God for blessings forthcoming, blessings that have come and all unmerited. We ask these blessings and all the blessings in your darling Son Jesus. And Lord, ask you to bless our present, our family, our friends, my family here and in Brazil. More importantly, Lord, thank you for being our God. We ask these blessings and all the blessings in the name of your darling Son Jesus. Amen. Yeah, it's that time of the year. And this is a gift for you. Donny Hathaway, this Christmas. Asking for it, he's here. We're introducing this segment of
Hang All the Mistletoe.
Now he has mistletoe, but here he comes. He's riding on in hard and heavy, calling the doctor, and none other than Mel Cosell Jr., as we say at this time, as he is Sure Shot Mel and Sure Shot Mel Smith. He will introduce us to this next half hour of Calling the Doctor, where Rooney picks the phone up and asks us some of his most challenging questions, gives some insight as we chat for the next half hour. Doc Stanley, Mel Sure Shot Cosell Smith Jr., let him welcome you to this segment of Calling the Doctor, and then for the next half hour or so, you'll listen to some interesting conversation by a man who always has a point well taken. Rooney, introduce us.
Thank you, Doctor. The Sports in Depth Nation is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We have brought you courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that indeed is the aforementioned Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doctor.
Thank you, Rooney. And like you said, this is a special segment. This is, thank you so much for the kind words, Rooney. This is Calling the Doctor, where he's on the phone. The questions will come. The insight will come. The next half hour or so, it's Mel Cosell Smith Jr. and the Doctor just chatting and talking, sport, and whatever comes to mind. Rooney, you do it every time. Hey, Doc, got something to run by you. Not going to hold you but for a few minutes, and that takes at least a half a day. Rooney, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Doctor. Pardon me. Doc, I want to get into started off with a little bit about this Jets-Tebow thing. I want to get your insight and your idea.
I've been with you all along on this, Rooney.
Question in this, and you have, Doc. But my question is, every week they get blown out. It seems that the Jets get blown out. Don't even show up and make a game of it for all intents and purposes. I mean, it's like a pro team playing a high school team or a peewee league team. I mean, they don't even make a fair accounting of themselves. You know, it's one thing to lose to a better team. It's another thing. I mean, Doc, what the Jets have been doing lately is the boxing equivalent of getting knocked out without ever throwing a punch. My question to you is, I believe that, Doc. It's the boxing equivalent. I mean, they have been so non-representative that it's the boxing equivalent of getting KO without ever throwing a punch in a fight. My question to you, Doc, however, is, every week they get destroyed. Every week Rex Ryan says, I'm not going to switch to Tebow or the third-string quarterback, whose name escapes me at the moment. Because our guy, Sanchez, at the moment, when I say our guy, I don't mean you and my guy, but Rex says that I'm not going to switch quarterback because Sanchez gives us the best chance to win. He still gives us the best chance. Well, Doc, he says that every week, and every week they don't win. How is he giving them the best chance to win when every week they don't win?
Greg McElroy is the third-string guy that you're thinking about. And you just came from a whole different angle because my thing was I thought you were coming with, and there are games that the Jets have been blown away like last week, and you figure, why the heck can't you bring Tebow in? There's games, the couple that they've won where they were blowing people away, and they still kept Sanders in the game. I'm befuddled of this allegiance, this
That's it. I can't explain it. Does Sanchez have pictures of the coaching staff that we don't know about? What is this blind allegiance to Sanchez?
I'm thinking the only thing I can think, Rooney, is there's something upstairs that he's been told to stick with this guy. I mean, you got to look at the situation. I mean, they gave him, they extended his contract, then he brought in Tebow. And I remember talking to Joe Klecko, Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust and God Radio Network, just calling the doctor segment where Mel Cosell Smith Jr., Deadeye, sure shot Mel Smith is the only one on the show. Yeah, I remember what Joe Klecko said to me. And some guys just missed this. We were talking about this Sunday. I said, hey. Klecko concurred with me. He said, hey, this guy led his team to the playoffs, Tebow. This guy won his division, Tebow. And this guy beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Something the Jets haven't done under Sanchez. And more importantly, Klecko said something else. The guy brings a sense of integrity and credibility. Not that the Jets were lacking it. I'm just, I looked at Burrell. He was a guy that they would never bring in, no matter how bad we were winning, how bad we were losing, how bad Sanchez was playing. And you're saying, wow, okay. Like I said, Burrell had a season pass with a uniform on the bench. And if they were games, they should have brought him in. I do not know, Rooney, why they will not take Sanchez out of a football. It seems to me that Sanchez has to get killed to come out of a football game. And we've seen some of the greatest players in the game taken out when they weren't having a game where they were progressive. I mean, we've seen the greatest football quarterbacks, and we've seen it happen to remotely to Johnny Yu, to Joe Namath, to Montana, to Warren Moon, to Sonny Jurgensen, to Greasy. We've seen those days. Hey, you ain't got it. Come on, baby, don't worry about it. Let's try something else.
The first time my dad, let me say this, the first time my dad and I saw Phil Sims, the first time we saw Sims' first few games, my dad and I were like, wow, this kid has something. He is something that this kid has. This kid's going to be great. Even though he had first he was always getting hurt, and he heard the boo birds at the stadium and all that.
Came from a small college. When they left the sim, they would say, who is he? Who is he? And where's he from?
But the first time we saw him, Doc, we knew the kid had, future greatness, okay? And people forget, Doc, that there was a time when the Giants and the storied career of the so-called great genius Bill Parcells, that he picked Scott Fuhner over Phil Sims to start. Don't you remember that quarterback controversy with Sims or Bruner? And my dad and I were like, this is no contest. Sims or Bruner. Bruner's a decent backup, but Sims is the guy.
I'd be befuddled to find that Bart Starr was a backup quarterback on the Packers for 8 years. That's mind-boggling.
So my question to you about Rex is, how can you say that a certain guy gives you the best chance to win
Rooney, I can only concur. I'm mystified like you are. I can only concur that there must be some word from upstairs that Sanchez has to play.
But it had to come from upstairs for them to okay the Tebow thing to begin with.
Rooney, you're pulling the thoughts out of my mind. Why did upstairs get him and at the same time say don't play? Well, you know what? It's crazy, and I know it's not a situation like that. Where I remember one time, Whitey Herzog got a shortstop just so the Mets wouldn't get him. But that's a whole different scenario. Here's a guy. Woody Johnson was more concerned about being the head of the Mitt Romney campaign and defeating Obama than with his team.
Another loser, indeed.
If you go on the Doc Stanley Sports In Depth blogspot.com.br, there's my story there. Today I just posted another one. Doc Stanley Sports In Depth blogspot.com.br. And I just said he's going 0-2. We know how he did in the presidential thing. The Jets are 3-6. The Super Bowl is out of the question. And right now the playoffs is a pipe dream. They could win 7 in a row. You know, anything could happen. But right now you're just befuddled, Rooney. I'm just totally befuddled. It can't be explained.
I want to know, Doc, what does Rex and company work on? Or let me say this, Doc, and you know, you being a dean of reporters. I want to know what do they work on all week to look this bad? You know, Doc, you've covered obviously basketball and all. But really, Doc, what do they work?
Really?
I want to know
what they work on all week that they look this bad, Doc.
I mean, you've seen basketball players and you'll hear a guy say, "I shoot 100 free throws in practice, you know, every practice I just stay at the line, I shoot 100 free throws. Every practice I'll take 100 shots from 20 feet and out." Mm-hmm. You know, I will practice. I want to know why do they, if they're so scared that Tebow can't throw the ball across the street, which maybe he can, why is there not a quarterback, number one, why does he not have a quarterback coach and basically that's the same for Sanchez? And number two, why do they not have Tebow not throwing 100 passes a practice? To the receiver on the left side, the receiver on the right side, up the middle, the bomb. Why do they not have him throwing at least 100 passes per practice? I mean, if they're so scared that he can't throw the ball, then what is it? Why don't they have him practicing throwing the ball?
You just got a call from your lovely lady A. She just called to say hello, and she just called to say, you know, she's on assignment. She heard the ship trying to call. She's concurred with you. Lady A has been a devout anti-Sanchez.
She has
since late last year. Early last year. You know, she said she just didn't see what he was bringing to the table. She wasn't happy with his performance. And when the Tebow came along, we were saying, "Well, wow!" You know, and for no other reason, you brought. If you didn't want to bring Burrell in because he was a long in the tooth, okay, quarterback. With Tebow, you were bringing somebody in that was young. You're bringing somebody in who had won. And the thing I liked about Tebow, which I thought was be a tremendous advantage, when you bring Tebow in as a southpaw quarterback, there's a whole lot of adjustments that have to be made, and maybe by the time they're made, or in the process and transition of making him, you've taken advantage of that. I mean, he's a southpaw quarterback. He's a better runner than Sanchez. He's a stronger runner. But you bring a tremendous question. I mean, what are they doing? I mean, Cincinnati Sea Wings, who we call the Rough Rider on our Monday to Friday show, you know, he talked about when we were in training camp where they practiced the Wildcat. You couldn't talk about the Wildcat.
They swore all you guys the secrecy, correct, Doc?
Exactly.
All you guys from disclosing what they were practicing
but,
on.
You know,
My question to you is, what were they practicing on? Was it sure not showing in the weekly games?
Well, not only that, Rooney, I mean, what's the big secret? Because when he comes in with the Wildcat, you know he's going to run the football. I mean, percent of the time he's going to run the football when he comes in with the Wildcat. And what you're saying, for all intents and purposes, hey, it's running. And Dusty brought up a tremendous point. You know, why you have Sanchez runs green to the right for 5 yards. He runs green to the left for 2 yards. He runs green up the middle for 5 yards. He hits Keller for 11 yards. And now he's rocking and rolling, and you bring in Tebow.
You're breaking the guy's momentum, Doc. They have no idea when to use Tebow, Doc. They try to force feed Tebow when the few times that Sanchez has it, the few times that he has it rocking and rolling a little bit,
sad
when there's a little bit of momentum,
touching.
They break it by bringing Tebow in.
Sad and touching, as Harold Weston would say.
And then they bring Tebow in for one play and sprint him right on out again. The guy had to play 5, 8, 10, 12 plays in a row to get some momentum.
Why can't he play? What you're saying is, why can't he play in a game where you're getting blown out 34 to nothing? Why can't he play in a game where the offense has not scored a touchdown? Why can't he play in a game where finally we're winning 24-24? Why can't he play? What is this wildcat? Rooney, it's questions. I'm going to see if I can look at pick up my, go on the blog real quickly and see if I can pick up the Rex Ryan's press conference stuff that
well,
he talked about.
Ryan says the same thing every week, Doc. Ryan says the same thing every week. You don't have to. You don't have to pick up this week. So you have to do what you got last week.
Hey, Rooney, I'm sorry, Rooney. I didn't. Rooney, Doc Staley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Net is Sports in Depth midday with the special segment calling the Dr. Mel Cosell Smith, Jr. Sure Shot Mel Smith. Rooney, you're right. Looking over the notes, he's asked this question redundantly. He's asked this question every week. What are you going to do with Tebow? Why are you not playing Tebow? And it's always this thing is Sanchez is our guy. And I remember the things that were thrown up about Sanchez that was sort of, well, I mean, you know, they say, you know, Sanchez is, I remember Eli Manning in a rookie year. I said, I know, you just like this guy. Because there was a situation, I'm redundant in this story again, and he had threw an INT. And they were trying to say, well, the runner guy had ran the pass, right? He said, no. He said, that was on me. And one of the things that the former Jet quarterback talks about is that Sanchez never talks about I. You know, it's never my mistake. It's never I. It's always we, which I don't mean it's just a mindset. But it's the thing here is I just you're right. It's you know maybe we just move on from this. There's the answers to these questions can only be answered by Coach Ryan. And I imagine Willie Johnson, you know, because you're 3-6 now. You're going to have to go on a 7-game winning streak to be 10-6, because or at least six out of the next 7 games, okay, be 9-7 to make the playoffs. So because it's possible in that division. They're not playing in the greatest division in the world. The Buffalo Bills are playing like the old Bills. The Patriots are not playing like the old Patriots, okay? So there's an outside shot that, you know, 8-8 still could get you into the playoffs. The question, will 8-8 get Rex Ryan and Tannenbaum and Mark Sanchez back in next year? So that's still the outside shot.
Ryan seems to be banking his job on going with Sanchez. Either that or he's gotten some assurance from upstairs that he's not going to go at the end of the year.
You bring a tremendous point in here now, which you always do. And let me use your term, Rooney, a point well taken. Maybe he's been assured, hey, Rex, this is a year, no matter what happens, you're still going to be here. Okay?
Yeah, Tannenbaum will go, but Rex, I'm pretty sure Rex may get another year.
Well, but, Rooney, why would you think Tannenbaum would go and Rex not go?
Because he's the guy making the most of the purse. I'm sure Ryan has some kind of say. But Tannenbaum has been making these poor personnel decisions for quite some time, Doc. I mean, most of the draft choices that this guy has chosen has just fallen flat. I mean, he's made a couple of year Revis, probably lucked out with that, but I'll give him all due on that one.
Okay.
But for the most part, Doc, I say 5 of out of every 6 draft choices this guy makes falls flat.
It's amazing that he's never called to task. When you hear about the failures of the Jets, the two names that always pop up is Sanchez and Ryan. You never hear Tannenbaum. The two names that always pop up is Sanchez and Ryan, which is so unfair. I mean, in both situations, and this is what you alluded to as well as the guru and football genius, Cincinnati Sea Wings, who we call the Rough Rider here doing Monday Friday. But, you know, the constant deletion of the players and personnel around Sanchez and who Rex had to coach and use are not there. And yet, when it comes to the W and the L, it's when it win, it's the Jets winning, and when they lose, it's Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm, like I said, Sanchez looks lost. The players, obviously, I mean, they can say what they want for public consumption, but they've lost all faith in him. I can just tell by their body language when they step on the field and come out of the huddle with this guy. You know, I'm not saying that you can't win with Sanchez if you have a ton, and I mean a ton of talent around him. Like his first 2 years here when they went to the championship game, when he got an all-pro offense, wide receivers, when you have decent running back. You know, when you have the talent around him, Doc, I think that if all you ask him to do is manage the game, you may be able to get some W's. But Sanchez, at least at this point, is not the type of guy, at least in my opinion, Doc, that makes others around him better. So if you're going to ask him to do anything more than manage the game, meaning don't fumble the ball, don't throw the big interception, then he's not going to win the game for you. He's not the type of guy that can carry the squad on his back.
Yeah, it's amazing, Rooney. Doc Stanley Sports and Network, the Trust in God Radio Network. It's Calling the Doctor segment, Mel Cosell, Short Shot Mel Smith. Here on this segment, we'll hear for you the next good 20 minutes or so. Yeah, Ronnie, this is an amazing thing. It always is puzzling that it's something that is so obvious. And I understand, and you know, you and Destinio and Lady A and Sea Wings and Harold, okay, so you are experts. You are aficionados. You are genius in your respective field, and you can see this. But it's also so blatant that other people can see this. And you just, you befuddled. The big question that you ask is a question that's a question of total befuddlement, a question of total bewilderment, a question of total, wow, what the heck is going on, that at this stage, at 3-6, I mean, you look at last week, as Sea Wing said, if the Jets defense don't score a touchdown, the Jets don't get any points, but as it is, the Jets' offense was shut out. And this is the same offense that was having scoring points in the preseason. And we said, well, you know, it's a preseason. They're working on some things. But it has seemed to be that this situation is a carryover into the season. You're 3-6. I mean, you were looking for the Jets to be 6-3 at this time. I mean, this is a team with the kind of talent to win every one of the games that they lost. Okay, I mean, Miami beat them. And you talked about the lack of trust, the lack of faith in Sanchez. This was shown by the coaching staff, as it was pointed out by Servi and the other writer from the Daily News in New England. You were on the 18-yard line. Sanchez is throwing for 300 yards. He's looking more like Tom Brady than Tom Brady in New England, and you're running the football, Rooney.
Doc, the play calling has been absolutely abominable.
Oh, Rooney, are you telling me that you want your man back?
Well, I won't say that, but I will say this. But I will say this. He's looked no worse than Sparano has looked since he's gotten here.
I'm going to tell you about Tannenbaum, too. You know what I mean? Schottenheimer. Last year, you can say this for him. The Jets were the number one team in all of pro football in the red zone.
Okay? Yeah, in the red zone. Now they can barely even get in the red zone, much less do anything within the red zone. You know what I mean, Doc? Really, I mean, it's hard to watch. Doc, it's painful to watch. It's painful to watch. I mean, the number one thing of all of pro sports is, and Doc, you've been covering sports for a long time, okay? The number one thing in all pro sports is, okay, if you can't win,
if you don't have enough talent to win, at least don't be boring, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can't win, at the very least, don't be boring, all right? These guys are hard to watch, Doc. I mean, it's like I'll hand the ball off for a two-yard gain in a cloud of dust.
Sad and touching, as Harold Weston would say. Doc Stanley, what's in depth on the Trust in God Radio. It's Calling the Doctor with none other than the legend himself, Mel Cosell Smith Jr. Gentlemen, actually, gentlemen, just give us about 20 seconds. Hold on. Donny Hathaway has something to say. What's in depth? Big day. Real quickly, just wanted to make a couple of quick announcements. This segment is brought to you by Ahmed Barbershop, located at 21800 Fifth Street in the Bronx, Panama. 917-751-3393. Give him a call. You won't be sorry. And while you're there, Laundry Master, Monday through Sunday, 7 to 10 p.m. every day, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Hey, today's Tuesday. Hey, it's half on and from 7 to 2 p.m. on the machines. And also, Manny's Mobile Clothing for all occasions. 646-322-1657.
And this Christmas,
no, other people,
we'll be very special Christmas
be bringing you for
me.
On the Sports Step, right here on the Trust in God Radio Network. And it is midday. In our special segment, once again, Calling the Doctor. Without further ado, back to the man with the questions, the answers, and the insight, Mel Cosell Smith Jr. Rooney.
I have to ask you a question about music, Doc, because our fans don't know, but you're also somewhat of an expert at that, an aficionado, if you will. You know, Doc, just listening to the great, and I mean great, Donny Hathaway, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, the internal problems that he had, Doc, I'm going on record right now, Doc, and saying, you know, when they talk about the great singers, the Luther Vandrosses and Teddy Pendergrasses and what have you,
Marvin Gaye, even though
he's a little, you know, before their time. But I have to say, though, Doc, Donny Hathaway would have been one of the, and still is, was, one of the greats to ever breathe as far
And you think about that, Rooney, too, the ability to, when you talk about him and Gaye, there's so many similarities. You know, Donny Hathaway was the first performer I ever saw live. John DeFreitas, Polo Bear. When I came back out of the military, I was working at the time with MHT, Manufacturing Handle Transover Bank, and he said, "Hey man, I got four tickets." John was just a great guy who was a great connoisseur of wine. His wants to give well wishes to his mother too, Matze Monsanto. Wants to give well wishes to her. She just had some knee surgery, and also sympathy is going out to her and Johnny. Matze Monsanto used to be Matze DeFreitas. She lost both of her husbands this year, and also her next year youngest son Joel. And Johnny, at the same time, lost his dad, his brother Joel, as well as his beloved lady from our beloved Brazil. And Johnny is, like his mother, an outstanding cook, a chef, a connoisseur of wines. And he always called me Jet. That's a nickname I had in the military. And he said, "Hey, I've got these fortunes." In fact, the young lady he was dating, a girl named Helen Wood, we went to see Donny. Donny Hathaway was the first performer I ever saw live. And he was, I became cognizant of him. You talk about Marvin Gaye, he was playing Marvin Gaye, "Let's Get It on the piano. Mother had the big Applejack hat. His daughter, Layla, is a great singer. You can hear the dad in her voice, a great singer. Try to get her music on here. Big C. I want to thank Big C, too, for the music and the competition that we have brought to us by Big C. And, Donny was great. And Donny was great in a lot of ways, similar to Marvin, also in the fact that, you know, Marvin had that point in his career when he did duels with females, and the most renowned one was Tammy Terrell. You know, Tammy died in his arms, and Marv was shaken for a long time behind that, but he had Tammy Terrell, he had Kim Houston, Kim Weston, and Murray Wells, and Donnie's female counterpart was the legendary Roberta Flack, who was a school teacher who got into the business at the same time as being a teacher. And Donnie did Where Is the Love, The Closer I Get to You, You Are My Heaven. Donnie, as it said.
Oh, yeah,
man,
another great song. That probably, You Are, yeah, You Are My, I mean, you know, I got to tell you, like, Donnie has the type of voice, I got to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I hear that, like you say, You Are My Heaven, this Christmas, when I hear that dude start singing that, I got to tell you, sometimes, I got to say, I get a little emotional when I hear that voice. He has the type of voice that just brings you. Yeah, just brings you there, Doc. It's hard to hold it together when I hear you. The guy was incredible. What an incredible talent he was.
Hang all in the mistletoe, I'm gone.
A great artist. You know, his daughter, we're going to try to get some of her music in here. She does a great thing. I'm Love. Like I said, this Christmas is a Christmas song that Donnie wrote and interjected into the great Christmas carols of all time, like The Christmas Song, White Christmas, Christmas. And I remember this song so vividly, Rooney. It's December of 1974. I'm up in Harlem visiting my great aunt, and Lord knows there were no greater aunts than them. My aunt Dumpsy, Farnetta, my aunt Peachy, Eleanor, my aunt Bootsy, my aunt Lorraine, Mama Teensy, my aunt Mel, Mildred, my cousins Junie, Sylvia, and Milton. And as I'm leaving my rookie year as a police officer, I'm heading toward the train station, walking down the legendary 127th Street, just past Lenox Avenue, now Malcolm X Boulevard, 8th Avenue. And I hear this music being played. At that time, still the old 45s, and it's Donny Hathaway, as I'm in the first year of the anniversary of the passing of my beloved father, James Arthur Stanley Sr., a.k.a. Scope. And I first, that was my second, my second intertwining with the great Donny Hathaway. The first one was in 1972, Town Hall, he performed. And I remember he said, God bless you all. And I said, God bless you all too, Donny. Great singer. And the supposedly claim of suicide has later been sort of questioned of possibly not being suicide. You know, supposedly Donny had committed suicide and causing his demise. And also, I remember Phyllis Hyman, who I opened up for as
another
a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
And as a kind of stand-up comic. And, you know, Phyllis, you know, and these are things you always do, Rooney, and it's a good damn you, because you always do this stuff. You always bring so much light. You know, Phyllis started out at Russ Brown's, which was the legendary club of Art Russ Jr.
That's really?
She started her career at Russ Brown's, sophisticated lady. And I remember Arthur telling me, and how I miss him, especially this time of the year. Christmas, you know, I never forget one Christmas at Arthur's. Him, his Patty, Susie, Mario, the kids there. And we've just had some turkey, and Mario comes in, and he's putting pork chops. He's grilling pork chops. I'm like, only at Art Russ House. We've had turkey and, excuse me, lamb chops. Turkey and lamb chops for Christmas. Art talked about walking into Russ Brown's after that classic line of his going to the show. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is all we have. Edna, I'm coming home. And Art talked about walking into Russ Brown's. Walking to Russ Brown's and looking on one side, and there's his good friend who would come down and watch him play softball, Miles Dewey Davis Jr. And as he's walking, looks to the left, and to the other corner is John Lennon and Yoko Ono. And, you know, Art just thought, I remember the great Walt Clyde Frazier. And when you talk about great all-around basketball, there's only two guards who were unequivocally the greatest in all-around, Oscar Palmer Robinson and Walt Clyde Frazier. And Clyde, I remember he's getting ready to do a broadcast, and he's coming through the press room at the guard. He said, Clyde, how is Russ Brown's? And he stopped. My friend, the great Walt Clyde Frazier, greatest all-around guard I've ever seen play, put his glass his cup of tea and lemon down. He said, "Stan, you never went to Rush Brown's?" I said, "Stan," he said, "you missed it. You missed it." They said, "Well, there was cars parked, double parked, three deep. Not double parked, triple parked. Triple parked. Art would have his Avante with the plates, 13 on it. Everybody knew it was his. Only two people will ever know who drove an Avante. The incomparable Julius Winfield, Dr. J. Irving, and also the legendary Art Rush Jr. And, yeah, Phyllis started out at this club, Rush Brown's, and it was the place to be. You know, if you wanted to take somebody that you were trying to impress, if you wanted to take somebody that you were trying to persuade in a promotion, you took him to Arthur George's Rush Brown, named after Art, and I met his partner. I met his partner, who was his, Mr. Brown, because that's what it was called, Rush Brown's, because it was I was a partner. And it was one of the great eateries, one of the legendary eateries in the history of New York City. But Donny Hathaway, great artist, great singer, and his daughter, oh, I'm going to catch Big C, see if he can put something of hers on here, too. She's done some collaborations, and she's great. Ronnie, you have always asked me so much in a baseball vernacular, and we've always talked so much about Willie Mays, and we've also talked about basketball, Oscar Robertson, and you know, Mays is the only guy to win the MVP 11 years apart, which is staggering to think.
Well, it really is to be great for that long, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but it's also amazing to think that Willie Mays could have not won it. I mean, I look at Barry. Barry Bonds is the all-time winner of the MVP award 7 times. But I'm just befuddled that Willie Mays never won it 3 or 4 times. I mean, Mays.
Before you move over to baseball, it's something
go.
I have to tell the other. I know that you are as modest as can be, but I have to tell the audience listening this. You know, the guys, the people that you just mentioned, the unmistakable and unmatchable Arthur George Rush Jr. You know, I remember Doc being a trying to get my toe into the door, trying to get my foot in the door. This business and the great Marion Boykin. Yes, and you took me under your wings. And I remember being a young, fresh-faced reporter, Doc, looking at all these talks. I remember it was some boxing affair or some such thing. Because I remember Don King being there and a bunch of boxing notables and what have you. So I walked through the door, Doc. You're there because you had said, you know, to meet you there and, you know, be ready for a good story, whatever. And I look, and a lot of the big-time writers, I'm watching Michael Katz and all these guys. I think Gallo was there, the great Bill Gallo. And I'm watching, you know, they're having soup, you know, having a little bit, you know, a luncheon. I look in that same table with Gallo and Katz, and who do I see but the guy that I had listened to on WAB every day for years, the great, unmistakable Arthur George Rust Jr. And I remember turning to you and saying, "Doc, this is Arthur Rust Jr." And I mean, Doc, I was as wide-eyed as a guy, as a kid on Christmas. I'm like, "Doc, this is Arthur Rust Jr." And I remember you cool and calm, but obviously you had been a star as these other folks were for many years. So, and everything, "Oh, yeah, it is Art. It is the guy, Art Shore." And I remember, "Art Russ Jr., are you kidding?" And Doc, I had the same effect once with you. We're sitting, I don't know if you remember this, Doc, we're sitting in the garden lunchroom, winning before a Knick game is about to start to cover the Knicks. And we're sitting talking about the great ball players. I think Bernard King had just walked by, and by the way, he was great in his own right. We just watched Bernard King had just came into the lunch part of the garden. And, right, and we're sitting down talking. And I remember talking about, you know, how my guy, Earl the Pearl Monroe, who actually is my favorite ball player of all time, and how the things that Michael did above the hoop, Earl had done below. And Donovan, just as we said that again, I'm wide-eyed, I look up, and who do I see but Earl the Pearl Monroe? And I'm like, it's Earl Monroe. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding? Doc, there have been a million times when you have had me like a kid on Christmas Eve looking at my heroes going to Earl the Pearl Monroe. And I was almost speechless, Doc. And I remember saying, "Oh, how are you?" And I'm like,
It's Al Monroe.
No greater human being walks the earth than Earl Monroe, and I'm blessed to, whenever I see him, he stops and says hello. I have in my Trust in God Sports and Deaf Artifact in Hall of Fame, a gave me a his complete uniform from an all-star game. I treasure it dearly. It's one of the few things that I don't know if there's a price on it, because I remember Brian Taylor, my friend Brian Taylor. The Nets had just beat the Knicks in the Garden. They just got Julius. They're the rave of New York. They're the talk of the town, Julius Irving. And he says something I will never forget as long as I live. He says, a reporter is talking about Irving. He says, yeah, he's a pearl of a player. But more than that, he's a pearl of a person. And you can't say enough. And it says a whole lot about you that that is your favorite guy, because he can be said of you too, Mel Smith Jr., a.k.a. Blue Coco, a.k.a. Rooney, you too are a pearl of a person, my friend.
Well, thank you, Doc, and the same to you. And I have to say, Doc, at the time, this is what people that I need to know about you. You were already a dean of sports writers at the time, knew everybody that there is to know in the sports business, and everybody knew you. And I remember basically, like I said, being a young person, trying to actually get my foot in the door of broadcasting. I had to just try to deal with the wrestling business, which is a whole story in itself. And, Doc, I remember, like I said, you and Baron took time out of your very busy schedules, out of your very busy reporting, to help a young guy who nobody had basically really had ever heard of as far as the reporting business is concerned, to help me get my foot in the door, and I will always, always appreciate it. You are responsible for so many memories that would never have happened if it wasn't for your help and guidance and patience. And
well,
I
Rooney,
just want to thank you for it, Doc, because I'll never forget it.
Well, you're more than welcome. If you're all the thanks and praise goes to God. And, you know, you were, Marion picked you out. You was our guy, man. Marion picked you out. You was our guy. I mean, what was that hard to choose? I mean, you had intellect. You knew how to dress. Okay, that's important. You know, Claudia was telling us about you knew, even though you may not have met the people, you knew the people. I mean, it's not hard to say, okay, I'm going to start Michael, Oscar, Kareem, Chamberlain. It ain't hard, Rooney. It wasn't hard.
Doc,
I
know we have a little bit of time left. I remember us being, thanks again to you and Marion Boykin, getting me press credentials again. I remember being in the first row of press, along with you, Marion, in the first row of press. I mean, I remember sitting ahead of the guy. I got a better seat than the guy who's writing for the Times. Thanks to you, Barrett. I remember I'm out of turn and back of me. There's Leroy Neiman, the great artist. At the time, the Senator Al D'Amato. I mean, I have better seats than them. I'm literally in the first row of press. Thanks to you and Marion getting me credentials. Anyway, Doc, I remember one time. So Marion walked by. I think I remember him saying, "So, how do you feel being this close to it?" Because the main event, Doc, was Lennox Lewis against Ray,
Ray Mercer, former heavyweight champion of the world. Lennox was former heavyweight champion. You had two former heavyweight. In fact, you know what, Rooney? Hold, give me a second here, because we're going to go a few extra minutes with the mic on, lights off. So, with Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network, we're going to close in a couple of minutes, but we're going to let Rooney do a quick closing for us, and we're going to talk a couple extra minutes, and we really got to run. It's the midweek show, calling the doctor. You see how it happens. Hey, ain't enough time, because there's not enough to say and not enough to learn here when the Rooney is on the phone. Larry Hardesty, say something real quick.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio.
Your God, the Azani, he is that the way, as Murray D.K. would say it. And good one, you were talking?
No, Doc, I was about to say that So we're at this heavyweight fight.
Mercer Lennox Lewis. I tell you what that card was that night.
Go ahead,
Sports and Depth Hall of Fame Artifacts. I had by the author, by the artist, D'Agostino autographed it. You had on that card, you had Lennox Lewis against Ray Mercer, two former heavyweight champions. You had Evander Holyfield, okay, against Bobby Chaz, heavyweight champion against light heavyweight champion, and Tim Witherspoon, former heavyweight champion,
terrible
against the guy against Dan Gonzalez. So you had five world champions on this card, and I have that poster autographed here in the Trust in God Sports Hall of Fame. And what you were helping this lady next to us in tears, and you were assuring her that, you know, she said, you think he's winning? And we were sitting next to the
Absolutely.
Mother of the great heavyweight champions of our time, Mrs. Lewis, the mother of the great Lennox Lewis.
With tears streaming down her cheeks, and, you know, tears streaming. And I remember thinking, and I remember, I remember sitting, like, in the first, literally the first four rest, we could reach out literally and touch the ring. And I remember that, you know, I mean, actually, the one seat behind, but we could almost touch the ring. I think we were in the second row. I think Lennox Lewis's mom was, like, right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her turning around, like you said, Doc, with literally tears in her because it was an unbelievable fight. I mean,
it was the fight that told me that Lennox Lewis could fight. When Ray Leonard went to Mike Trainer's office, and Ollie Dunlap told this story, the great Ollie Dunlap, what a fine human being, talking about him, and Mike Trainer turned to Ollie, Ray, and Jacobs, who was Jenks Morton, and said, hey, can he fight? And they sit there and laugh. They said, "We need to laugh." The young man has just won a gold medal in the Olympics. Sure, Howard Davis is picked as the best fighter, but if anybody is number one or 1A, it's him. And Mike said, No. I know he can box. Can he fight? Hearns Leonard told you he could fight, and before that you knew he could fight in Duran and Leonard. But this night, Mercer against Lennox Lewis, that was the one fight that Lennox threw the gauntlet down, forgot about the safety zone, didn't worry about getting knocked down, and threw down and beat Mercer in one of the outstanding fights by a fight that was a combination of a boxing match, Rooney, and a fight.
It was a bona fide award, Doc, and I remember, as we were getting ready, to, you know, for the fights to start earlier, and I remember just looking at the atmosphere. I mean, I look around at my old schoolmate back in the Richmond Hill days, Juan Laporte.
First,
as you know, the
first Puerto Rican ever win the featherweight championship of the
Absolutely.
World, Juan Laporte.
And Doc, you and I, even though we weren't at the fight in the same seats, but it turns out, Doc, I believe you were at, I think, Doc, that you said that you were at that title fight, as was I, when he beat Mario Miranda, the captain of featherweight crown of Madison Square Garden.
On a card promoted by the greatest promoter in history of boxing, Don King.
Yeah. And so I remember this poor elderly lady turning around with tears in her eyes, like literally tears, saying to us, as you know, do you think he's ahead? And I remember saying, Mrs. Lewis, yes, Mrs. Lewis, I have him ahead, I think, by, I can't remember now, Doc, if I had him ahead by one round or two rounds, but it was very, very close, and a total, very, very brutal fight, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what that fight taught me, Doc? When I was boxing in the amateurs, I would always bug my mom to come and see me fight because I was fairly good.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember what she used to say, I am not going to watch anyone ever hit my firstborn son in the face. It's not going to happen. Not
mm-hmm.
going to happen. Totally not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, I cajoled. I pleaded. I begged. I said, Mom, I'm going to be doing the puncher, not getting punched. I'm really good, Mom. You got to. And she would repeat, I am not going to watch anyone hit my son in the face. Well, I could never understand it. I'm like, I keep telling Mom I'm real good. She knows I'm good. I can handle myself. Why? Well, Doc, the love of a mother is what showed me that, a mother's love. Because after I saw those tears coming down, you know, in her Mrs. Lewis's eyes,
mm-hmm.
watching her son in that brutal war,
mm-hmm.
it hit me that, you know something, Doc?
every punch that Mix got hit with, every brutal shot that he got hit with in that Ray Mercer fight, she felt. And it finally hit me. That is what I said. You know something after that? I said, you know something, Ma? Now I know why you would never come to see me fight. Because after looking at Lennox Lewis's mom with those tears in her eyes, watching that brutal fight with her son, it hit me. It hit me. The love of everyone. I don't have to tell you, Doc. You know how brutal that fight was. And every
it was the greatest display of heart and courage. If Lennox
really
Lewis had fought every fight like that, he'd be in the top 10 of the all-time heavies. It was a great fight. It was a tremendous night, a great card. And I remember we were sitting next to her. And I'm looking over to you.
Right next to her. She turned around and asked us, so we thought we were right.
She was sitting to my right, and here you were consoling.
I tried to console her, but I felt so badly for her, Doc.
It's just amazing. It just shows, you know, the avenues that we traveled to be sitting not only ringside, but ringside to the mother of one of the great heavyweight champions.
She was right. She asked us who we thought was ahead, because the woman had tears in her eyes.
Alvira, I remember going backstage. You were running to Captain Lou Albano. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Trust and God Radio Network. This has been the segment of Doc Stanley with Calling the Doctor, my good friend and our also posse member, the astute Mel Smith Jr. We're going to close it up here now. Closing out with Howard Hughes, First Noel. Rooney, tell everybody goodbye for now. We'll be back tomorrow.
Well, Doc, the Sports In Depth Nation's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God, the radio network, and the straw letter, the drink's been here. And that, indeed, and it's been my pleasure, has been the great Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doctor.
Really humble me. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Trust in God Radio Network. It has been our special segment, Insight, In-Depth Information. Mel Gosell Smith Jr. calling the Dr. Howard Hewitt will close us out here. The First Noel. We'll be back tomorrow. We're right here. And remember, always, live your life today as if it's been before God tomorrow. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. Mel Gosell Smith Jr.
Nowhere.
Doctor says, thanks for being with us.
Nowhere.
Trust in God.
Nowhere. Wanted the King of
nowhere, nowhere.
Segment has been Calling the Doctor. We'll see you tomorrow. And remember, always, trust in God. Thanks for being with us.